AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
On News Talk.
A rally will take place outside City Hall today to protest rent increases for council and HAP tenants. Under the plans by Dublin City Council, social tenants would see the first change to how their rent is calculated in 30 years. For many, this will have a huge impact on their day-to-day lives amidst the high cost of living. We want to know, is this calculation fair or should it be left alone? Well, I'm going to go to the phones. James O'Toole is with me. James, you're very welcome.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. Tell me about you. You're going to be impacted by this.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm a tenant in social housing in Ballyfermot. I mean, I also grew up in social housing in Ballymore Mansions flats. So I've kind of seen how the kind of the differential rent system, you know, where people pay a percentage of their income, how that helped people like my father, for example, who was a rank and file soldier in the army, you know, who are notoriously low paid. That helped him save a little and eventually, you know, save up for a house and we moved up to Crumlin. And now I find myself back in social housing. But I mean, a lot of my neighbours, right, they're people who've been through 15 to 20 years on housing. This, you know, the extremely low thresholds for social housing meant that people were forced to live in poverty or get kicked off the housing list. And then eventually people get into social housing and they think, right, the differential rent, you know, the fact that rent is kept at 15% of income means that they can actually start to dream. They can actually say, oh, maybe my kid can go to college and I can put a bit of money aside for that. And so the fact that central government has cut funding, successive governments have cut funding to the local councils, and now the local councils are looking for revenue streams. The fact that they'd try to pick the pockets of some of the poorest working families in the city, I just think that that's obscene. And I know other workers listening in the private rental sector are creased with rents, but I suppose that's an argument for them to have some kind of, you know, means by which they can have a disposable income. You know, that's an argument for everybody to have access to some kind of housing support, you know. So social housing really does, in my own family when I was growing up, it gave my father, like a rank and file soldier, that bit of support that he could actually, you know, do much better with his life than he could have without that support.
James, I always say that a society is judged by how it treats its most vulnerable. And I think most of us want to live in a society where people shouldn't have to pay more if they're living in poor conditions. But can I put something to you as devil's advocate, particularly because you said you grew up with social housing and now you find yourself back in social housing again? And I say that with empathy, not judgment. But is there an issue with people becoming trapped in social housing? And there's never going to be a good time to look at these rates. But if it hasn't been done for 30 years, are there some people who, when there are increases, will be forced to seek more work or other incomes that may, in the long run, help them?
We see actually taking income away from people won't help them because, like, for example, like the example of my father, who's like a rank and file member of the Defence Forces, like the fact that he had disposable income was actually the way that he could have more aspirations and hope for something better out of his life, you know. So social housing actually gave him the support to do better out of his life. And I think the key argument here is that, you know, there's a range of people living in social housing. Obviously, the low income threshold, as they've kind of like, the government has intentionally made it housing for the poorest workers and for people on social welfare. But actually, if they extended the threshold so that social housing was like social housing is in Sweden or Switzerland or countries where social housing is housing for all workers, then people would be, you know, have a neighbour who's a doctor, a neighbour who's a surgeon. You know, you'd have more cohesive communities. So actually, if we want people to do better and flourish, I think actually we should be talking about extending social housing to more categories of workers rather than limiting it. And we should be giving more workers You know, because I'm sure nurses and, you know, every worker out there is creased by the housing crisis at the moment, whether they're paying a mortgage or they're paying exorbitant rents. So I think we really need to be looking at how do we expand this support net rather than limit it.
And yeah, I think, there are, you know, you're right, James, like, there are more options than just cutting. Will you stay on the line, James, because I have a few more people to go to. I want to bring in Labour Councillor Dermot Lacey. Dermot, what do you think about this rally today?
Well, Claire, first of all, can I just say the bits that I agree with James on? I agree that we need more social housing. I agree that it is wrong that the government have cut funding to us. And I actually agree with him in his desire to change the, if you want, the definition of social housing. I think all of those things would be good for society. I think there's a lot of misinformation about the proposal tonight. And first of all, let me be clear. The proposal is an executive function. And despite what some councillors are saying, councillors do not have a determination on this issue. That's just a simple fact. It is in the under law, it is an executive proposal. However, the officials did try to engage with the political representatives on the council over the last 2 months or so, and all parties on the council were involved in the discussions that led to the review of the rent scheme. The first review, in, as you said, in 29 years. And some people will actually benefit from this. The review, the essential element of the review is that where you have multiple earners in accommodation, that they will pay a fairer amount than the people who have only one earner in the accommodation. So it's designed to try and be fair. It is not designed to, rip people off to impose extortionate increases. And where councillors do have the power is on the expenditure side. And we have determined that the entire income from this rent increase, which will be about 33 million a year, will go to housing maintenance, because the maintenance standards of much of our accommodation is really flawed. And we're determined that over the next 4 years, that will be tackled. So I understand why people are protesting, because people will always protest in relation to issues like this. But we have tried to strike a balance in terms of the executive wanting an increase, councillors wanting an improvement in maintenance, and that's what's before the City Council tonight.
Dermot, fair, the word fair can be very subjective. So what does fair mean? Does that mean everybody is going to be means tested based on their income?
Well, at the moment, all City Council tenants are tenants under the differential rent scheme, which means that you pay on average, and there are various discounts, so I don't want to complicate it too much, you pay on average about 15% of your income for rent. That will largely stay the same, except it will be hover between 15 and 17% of the income, with the higher earners paying the higher amount, and some people paying less. So that, if you want, means-tested rent is remaining the same. And James is absolutely correct. I would love to see the system where they have in Scandinavian countries, where, you know, everybody is living beside each other and we all pay a proportionate amount in rent, as same as each other. I grew up in a council house. I still live in a former council house. I support the notion of public housing. It is good for society for all the reasons that James mentioned. But, you know, after 29 years, it is reasonable to review rates that were set 29 years ago and to review them now. And that's what the City Council Executive has done in conjunction with councillors from all of the political parties, despite what some of them are saying today. All of them were involved in the negotiations and the discussions on this.
Okay, Dermot, thank you very much for coming on. That's Dermot Lacey, Labour councillor. A texter says social rents need to reflect the cost of maintaining these places, and that cost is now very high, sometimes due to litter, vandalism, damage, etc. And that's something Dermot had to say. But also the cost of living is very high for people and has gone up. Most mortgages, says another, are 25% of income, given you borrow the maximum four times the wages. So why should the council pay 15% and get brand new houses and apartments in some cases? And that's just the touchstone of the feeling in much of the country at the moment, as people are struggling, they begin to turn a little on themselves. And it comes back to that subjective word that I mentioned of fairness. We have Kevin on the line in Mayo. Kevin, you live in a council house. Tell me about your rent.
Hi, Sarah. How are you?
Good. Thanks for coming on.
Good stuff. Good to hear you. Just a rent in Castle Burnow in Mayo. I've been renting from the council social housing for the last 8 years. With no increase at all. Suddenly, the first letter I got was 2 months ago, just to notify me that my rent was going up. And it went up literally 40%. Now, I was looking at the differential rate, it averages the Dublin, other counties, supposed to be 15%. Altogether, my rent has gone up. The jump was 40%, but after I did the numbers, it worked out that now they're taking exactly 19.3%. And that's just a huge jump, just no notification. That's just the way it is. Now, even at what I'm paying now, it's still cheap compared to renting, say, in Dublin. But the first rent increase I've ever had, I just thought 19.3% was a bit stiff.
And Kevin, what sort of impact has that increase had on your life?
Well, like, do very quick math, okay? The rent has gone up 19.3%, okay? I pay ESB, I pay the heat, coal. Coal alone is 12.75% of my income. Between ESB and lunch money for my daughter, that's another 16%. So I'm looking at outgoings before I buy a sausage of €120 a week, dead. Now, I'm not complaining. I have to live on that. I understand it's harder for people depending on where they live. But I'm disabled, but it's just difficult. Like, for them to just put a rent increase up of, to me, it's 19%. I just think that's a big jump.
Yeah.
No notification.
If it was more incremental, would that make a difference?
I don't know. But like because they put it up that big of a jump automatically, does that reflect inflation over the last 10 years? Like, everything has gone up over the last 2 years. Your weekly bills in the shop gone up. And it's only because I buy fresh every 2-3 days. And I see the difference because I'm going there less often because I have noticed everything has gone up. But I just don't think that 19% from the council equates exactly what's going on for the last 10 years with prices.
And what did you think about what Councillor Dermot Lacey had to say about having to look at these rates over time and that possibly the money can be reinvested into maintaining properties in social housing?
Yeah, I'm sure they've done. But like every council, what I've been hearing is they can't afford to do every social house renovations for every, like they can't address every phone call, putting all their resources into it because they themselves have limits. And like they say, they don't have the money to X, Y, and Z. Which I understand, I appreciate everything they're doing, but there's always something, you know. This is a big jump. If you do the numbers, for how much extra are the councils getting for this increase, automatic increase, that they didn't get over the last 5 or 6 years? Suddenly now they're getting this. How much in total is that worth just to the government?
Fair enough.
Councils, I should say.
Well, look, Kevin, thanks for coming on and mind yourself. Kevin just highlights how squeezed people are feeling. So when you get a letter through the door saying there's going to be an increase, it has a real knock-on effect in how you live from day to day. We did put a call out to Dublin City Council and Mayo County Council for comment, but we have had no response as of yet. I want to go to Mick. Mick's on the line in Dublin. Mick, what are your thoughts on the increase in rent on social housing that is planned?
Well, look, I think all the speakers earlier spoke quite eloquently and quite well on their specific cases, right? And, you know, people understand in general how specific cases work. Now, I would say edge cases or hard cases don't make good decisions, right? Now, the previous gentleman there, again, he spoke very well about his personal case. Do you know what? There's not many people sitting around who've had cumulatively less than an 18 or 19% rent increase in the last 8 years. You know, most people think rent is going up 5, 6% every year or whatever, okay? Similarly, I'm going to suggest that most people's earnings are going up, certainly over the course of the last 7, 8 years, by more than 18%. I'm going to put that out there. And I know a lot of people say, no, the average, or, you know, you're sitting in Dublin or whatever, and it's not down here. But I think in this country, we love a bit of an El Moan about these things, you know. And people need to suck this up, you know, and sort of say, there's a lot of people sitting very cosy numbers, sitting in houses that are paid for or largely paid for by the other taxpayers, okay? And they're sitting there and feeling hard done by because their rent is going up a little bit more and whatever. So I think that people need, and the other thing I think is very relevant to this is there's a learned kind of dependence on the state or learned dependence on other people that come from us. There's lots of people working in well-paid jobs who can't afford to live in the areas where other people are getting this heavily subsidised accommodation. So I don't know what that says about me, or I don't know what it says about society, but like, I think that people really got to, you know, be a bit more, see the bigger picture on this sort of stuff. There's not enough housing for anyone, there's not enough housing for everyone, never mind just looking at a specific subsection of society or people who are looking for, and perhaps feel that they're fully entitled to subsidised accommodation for whatever reasons, you know?
And Mick, what was your situation growing up? Did you grow up in what would be considered a privileged household?
It's all relative. I grew up during the 70s and 80s. It didn't feel particularly privileged. But if the question is, did my parents own their own house? Yes, they did. Were they skint? Yes, they were. Do I own my own house now? Yes, I do. For the, you know, and I'm extremely fortunate to have done that. And I, you know, I mean, I'm lucky in certain regards. You know, I'm lucky I've got my health, and, you know, and work and that sort of stuff as well. You know, but I think one of the big fears I have about all this sort of stuff, and I'm going to just change tack slightly, and you cast your mind back about 10 years ago to the protests against the water charges, right? And there's all these goons out complaining about, oh, it's a basic entitlement, it's a human entitlement to water. But, you know, why should I pay for water? So the people can think that they should be entitled to everything under the sun because of, you know, next to be looking for like free holidays or something, because sure, that's a human entitlement, isn't it? And the government be under pressure to give into this kind of nonsense because they need to stay in power. Now, my view on all this sort of stuff is nothing should be for free or heavily subsidised in the case in these cases. So my view on all of this is I fear that people growing up in these situations will see the next generation, they see it as their entitlement. Well, I should get a council house because, you know, sure, didn't my dad have it or whatever it was, whatever it is. And that's not the way, there isn't enough to go around. So I look at, say, you know, you look over around Sheriff Street, okay, an area of what, half a mile from the city centre, or new apartments up there by kind of at the back of Guinness's around Basin Lane. I think a lot of those are going into social housing, right? What an amazing place to live, so close to town, right? But if you're working in the city, earning on a private, you know, working away, private company, whatever, not for a government department, or working for a private company, earning, I don't know, 80, 90K a year, you can't barely afford the rent on one of those things, but someone else is getting it for a peppercorn rent. I don't think it's right.
All right, Mick, I'd like to know what people think of what Mick had to say. You can text us 53106 for 30 cent or WhatsApp us for free 087-1400-106. I too grew up in a house where my parents owned their own home. I have owned my own home. To be perfectly open and honest, I've just spent the last 4 years with my husband and kids back with my mum so we could afford to live where we have just bought a house now for second time buyers. So I fully get it, but I think we do make a lot of assumptions on people who live in social housing and that there's many of them sitting back cozy. It's multifaceted and there are so many ways we could spend taxpayers' money to help with it. Let us know your thoughts. A texter says, a new development in Glasnevin of 101 apartments is going to social housing. Absolutely, a percentage should be given over to social housing. but I work and my husband work full time and we haven't a hope of living in the area we're both reared in. There should be a mixture of selling and rentals. It's just not fair. We're completely getting pushed out of our area. We are seriously thinking of leaving this country. John in Cork says, typical council tenants complaining, no rent increase in years. I'm sure a lot of low pay workers would love to pay only 15% of their wages on rent. Plus, a lot of council tenants have multiple wage earners in this house. With no rent increase in years, they have it a lot easier. And another says, I thought landlords were only allowed to increase rent by 2% a year. So why are councils exempt? We were on the housing list for 9 years. We aren't living cozy lives, living off taxpayers' money. Nobody wants to live in a council house. He has no empathy for people like us at all. We'll keep those coming into us. You can also email us lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.